Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Audible.
Well, good SFL Nation, welcome back to the SFL Audible. It's your favorite GM, Nelson Lozano, Khalil Thomas, and Ben Warner here tonight, ready to join. Just having a wonderful evening, man. I'm excited to have you gentlemen back on the air with me. I know a lot of things have been happening, you know, really great things in your lives. So I saw love from here. But it's a pleasure having you men on the show tonight. It's very exciting. We got a full cast. How you gentlemen doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. The band is back together. I'm pumped about tonight.
I'm doing well. It's exciting. Finally to be back together.
Finally, right? Like this is the this is what we always have done in the past, right? And this is the first time it's really happened in a long time after my injury. That we were able to really do this on a consistent basis again. So it's exciting. And this week has been exciting for the SFL, right? We had re-signings happen this week, right? And this is a very important time for, I know, a lot of rookies looking at this and seeing, okay, where are people re-signing? Where are they going at, right? What spots are going to be available? We got in a few more days free agency opening up, so those players who aren't signing with their original teams are going to be able to explore the free agent market. And then finally we'll get to the draft. So it's going to be an exciting few more weeks before all this happens. But what do you guys think about the whole re-signing period so far?
Ben, you can go first.
Okay, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a really cool concept that the league came up with. Kind of making a direct site where you could sign your contract and sign your own signature. Well, just type your own signature, but I thought that was a cool feature. It was pretty easy. I couldn't find the contract at first, but once I looked at my profile and it said show contract, then I finally found it. But it was pretty easy. It wasn't that bad. You just went through the Discord bot and asked them to give you your login information, but I thought it was a pretty smooth process. I didn't have any problems with it.
What about you, Casey?
Yeah, like Ben said, at first it was like, wait, what's going on? And you had to kind of keep going back and forth trying to figure out. Once you got in, it was very easy, very self-explanatory. So the way it was set up was really good once you got in. I was just kind of keeping an eye on everything because, you know, we always talk about, Nelson, you come from the general manager point of view, but – you know, you talk about look at the players, and I think this is the time where you really, as a player, look at your team and look at your experience with that team and decide if that's the right fit for you. So it's always interesting at this time to see who's like, you know what, I need a change of scenery, or if they like where they are.
Yeah, and that's the part that is exciting this year, right? Free agency was huge, and some really big names in free agency that some have moved into front office positions, but you know, it's huge names that are out there. So if you mix that with who's re-signing, it's huge. And we were talking, right, that there's some, you know, I'm interested to see where people are signing. We still have some teams that didn't sign, right? There's four teams that didn't have any folks sign as of yet. And I was telling you guys, right, I'm very curious to know why. And I want to know why, if in a sense of, like, just is it a technology thing or is it a people thing, right? Like, people are a little bit busy and they can't get there, or, you know, hey, there's some questions about the technology, because I'm going to let you know, honestly, I did too, right? Like, I'm not a wizard with this yet, but you're right. Once you get the hang of it, it's pretty simplistic, but it was that starting process. It was like, okay, we have to DM the SFL portal. Like, that's a little, you know, extra few steps, but once you got all those steps out the way, it was very interesting. So those teams, those four teams that haven't had nobody sign yet, I'm curious to know if it's those reasons, right? If it's because, hey, them trying to understand technology first, like, hey, we're not even 100% with it yet, so maybe we want to learn it first before we show the guys how to sign. Maybe it's a explanation thing, or maybe it's, you know, again, it could be too that their players are going to test free agency and then come back if that's going to be the case. Like, we don't know, or is it a glitch too, right? Like, this is a a brand new way that we are doing our contracts now and our progression. So is there also, you got to look at it as a technology standpoint, maybe there's some glitches and these teams have yet to have their stuff get through yet. I mean, what I love about this portal, and we're going to talk from the GM perspective, is how everything is in my hands, right? Like, I can see your progressions, I can see your attributes, I can see, your ratings, I can see everything in one spot. And I think that's just as a GM staying on top of everybody's progression, seeing what, you know, everybody's doing and then trying to work the numbers, everything is there for you to see. So I think that's really interesting in that standpoint as well. But there's been a lot of teams, including ourselves, that already have most of their roster either signed or completely signed, which is awesome to see as well. And I'd love to hear what those, you know, again, if anybody's listening tonight, if you are wanting to chime in to talk about re-signings or talk about, how the signing portal went, how was your experience? Maybe if we do have any listeners from those teams that have not had any signings yet, if you do want to call in just to kind of let us know, like, your perspective of it, it'd be awesome to hear, because this is our first launch of this type of situation, and I think it's something that we can build upon, and feedback is always loved, because then you can make it even better. But Ben, how do you feel this kind of opens up for the SFL with this new portal website?
Well, I just think it makes it easier for the front office staff and also the league administration. I mean, Marcus had to do all those contracts at once last year, and obviously one man doing that is pretty difficult, and because we all have our own personal lives and stuff, and it's not, we can't always focus on the SFL. So I think this allows people to kind of clear up their schedules where they don't have to always be worried that they're not going to get stuff done in time. I like it. I just think it's going to make it easier for everybody. And secondly, I think progressions are going to be much easier too. You just have to, I'm not sure how that's going to work because that obviously hasn't happened yet. So that will be interesting to see how that goes.
And KT, how do you feel like this, some of those teams that have not signed yet, do you think that there might be anything, like, again, in the sense of that technology that might be hindering all those signings coming through? Or, like, what are your thoughts about some of these teams that have had signings so far and those that have not?
I mean, I feel like it goes back to kind of what I said before. I feel like the technology is a role. I feel like you can't kind of discount, like, people might not you looked at it yet. People might not know how to use it correctly. But you got to look at the flip side of it. Like, okay, well, is there an issue? Is there things on these particular teams that we don't know about, not to speculate, but you never know. So, you know, there's a lot of questions to be answered. I think the next couple of days is going to answer a lot of questions regarding a lot of these teams and, you know, what the purpose is. Like, what's really going on? Is it technology or is it just is it a comfort issue? Is it the players just like, you know what, I'm not feeling it. I want to go someplace else and try my hand on a different team and a different locker room.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, this is the first time around, so it's a little bit harder, I think. And I kind of feel like one thing about this re-signing period that's a little bit different, too, it didn't feel like the same kind of hype, right? I felt like I would always try to take a look at the signing section to see when the contracts got processed and posted. And now it's kind of like screenshots, and it's kind of like it's there and everything else, and it just maybe the excitement isn't the same. I feel like when you normally see that, it kind of starts feeling like we're getting closer and closer to getting to the start of the season. But this time around, like, so many people got signed or so many people are signed, and you don't see that same type of excitement because it's just like a posting. Like, I felt like you'd get, like, three here, two here a night. You know, maybe Cam would write a message and say, hey, you might get – four more players tonight, and it kind of built this hype and anticipation to wait to see the contracts get approved. And now it's instantaneous. As soon as you put it in, we look at it, hey, everything's right, boom, accept, and it's posted, ready to go. And I think that aspect of it is amazing, and it's very interesting to see exactly what these teams have to say. Now, is there any players' contracts that have really stuck out to you guys as well? KT, if you want to kick it off, have you seen any of these contracts that really stood out to you? And if they did, what really stood out the most?
Wait, We have to start with Ben because I know Ben has a hot take.
I know. I wanted Ben to keep that hot take to go off on it before he went on it, because I feel like it's going to be a hard thing to go after. But if you like, go ahead, Ben. You can start off.
Yeah.
Casey, just remember, you're going to have to
start,
follow up.
Yeah. So I want to go – well, not go after, but talk about the Tulsa Desperados. And their contract that I see almost every year on the re-signing period, I think he's a bit overpaid, and he should take a little bit of a cap cut to help his teammates, is Gabriel Manning. Not saying he's not a great person or a great player, but 117.08 is his contract. That's a lot, and you could cut some of that. I mean, I don't see a lot of other wide receivers like that. You know, I feel like the higher wide receivers are like 103, maybe 105, but 117 a lot, and that is taken away from some, you know, much-needed positions they could have. Because they went 5-7 last year, and you know you could use that to maybe sign some defensive players or add to their offense. Let me see what they have. They did sign their quarterback to 107. And I think that's a good deal. Their other wide receivers are pretty much in the 90s, but I just think 117 is way too much for a wide receiver. And don't get me wrong, he's a great, great player, but that is way too much.
Well, here's my question, Ben.
Yeah.
What cap number would you put on a receiver if that's too high? What number would you work in if you were GM?
I think maximum would be, like I said, 105, maybe 107. I don't know. I feel like running backs, as we've seen around the league, kind of cap off at about 114, 115-ish. I mean, I don't know. I feel like a running back is a more valuable position than a wide receiver in this league. I mean, just look at what Jerick McChesney did all year long and all throughout his career. The guys like Reggie Streeter, Ezekiel Love this year. I mean, he did a lot for our offense. I just feel like wide receivers in the league should be paid a little bit less than running backs.
What about KT? What is your thoughts?
I mean, I'm still. I look through them, and I agree with what Ben said. You look at the numbers, and it's like that's a lot. It's like okay, that works. I think for contract wise, I'm not so much focused on that. I'm more focused on, like we talked about, for the re-signings and how some teams that re-sign. I know, speaking from our end, we got 19 signed already. I think that says a lot. A lot of teams have kind of brought a lot of guys back and a lot of that core back, and I feel like there hasn't been crazy numbers. There's been a couple where, like, a registrar deserves that number that he got. So I don't really have the idea of, like, oh, my God, it's crazy. I do agree with Ben with that one, but besides that, I think it's pretty much in sync with what, you know, was expected and what a lot of these players deserve.
Yeah. And I think it just depends on the ideology of the organization, right? Like, some folks really focus on one side of the ball, right? Like, they might be, hey, I'm going to focus more on the offense because offense scores touchdowns, right? Versus maybe a defense that is a little bit more serviceable. So, you know, that's some terminology. I'm just going to have such a high-flying offense that I'm just stack up points on the board. And my defense is just going to be serviceable enough to – and that's just a theory, right? Like, I'm not saying that's their thought process. But, you know, either that or, you know, we don't know what that organization at the end of the day is thinking about that contract, what they want to do. Yeah, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it is a high contract. I think the argument for that would be, you know, and I know when we were in Chicago, you know, we played Gabe Manning, and I mentioned him last week, and I'm like – he is the most explosive player, I think, in the league. So you look at receiver, has a returner. So I feel like that 117 is for what he brings to the table and how he can just break a game wide open himself. So I feel like that's the other argument. Like, what he brings, and he can just blow a game up himself. So I think that's kind of the argument that can go with that, too.
Yeah, and you can kind of see, too, like the quarterback, the running back, and the wide receiver all are the highest ones, right? So you can see they want that superstars in those three categories. And then when it comes down to wide receiver, it breaks down to, after that, a 95 and a 90 out of those. But, again, that's not bad. It looks more centered around the offense. And the defense, your highest paid player, it seems like it's going to be an 81, right? It looks like it's the highest me looking quickly. So it's, again, I'm thinking that's kind of more the scheme, like we're going to blow you up out of those touchdowns and let our defense really serviceable, right? Like, you know, just try to minimize as much as they can, but we're going to blow you out with more touchdowns than you. So, you know, winning that game. What were you going to say, Ben?
Yeah, so just looking at their stats from last year, defensive stats, they went 6-6 last year. They allowed the second most rush yards in the league, and they allowed the sixth most total yards by offenses in the league. I mean, I understand that, and they allowed the fifth most points in the league. So, I mean, I know your offense is going to be good, but I always go by the saying that defense wins championships. You need a good defense. You can't be in a shootout every game. Those are hard to win.
Yeah.
I mean, look at a team like St. Louis. I feel like St. Louis is the epitome of, like, they had some shootouts, but then, and I know Ben and I, we talked about St. Louis a lot last season, how they were able to kind of grind teams down and kind of just shut teams out. I feel like you need it's a balance to the league. I feel like there's going to be games where it's going to be 35-32, and there's going to be games where it's going to be like 17-16. Mm-hmm. So you have
and
to have
had
balance
games.
Of offense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had those games this year too. Like, we had some games like the Denver and Arizona game that are absolute shootouts. But then we had other games like the St. Louis game that was 17-16. So I agree with Khalil there that you need a balance because – it's not going to be a shootout every time, and it's not going to be a defensive battle every game. It's going to be a mixture of both. So you need to be kind of prepared for both of those scenarios.
Yeah, and again, keeping in mind the budget as well, like you're going to have to kind of work mm-hmm. in these other needs. And
yep.
you know, it's going to be interesting on how they're going to do that, whether they're going to try to bring in some vets, but that vet is going to have to definitely understand that, you know, this is kind of how we're going to be doing this. We're going to really focus around these core areas. And then after that, everything else, you know, whatever the position that they're playing is, you know, you're still going to be on the field. Like it's going to be very interesting to see how they come under budget as well, right? Or come at least at the budget they're supposed to be to start the season, which will be interesting. And again, just going through these teams, there is still a lot of teams that only have 4 to 5 players already signed. I look at that and I'm saying, you know, I'm very curious to see what happens here. You know, are players holding out? Are they not? You know, we saw a huge influx in retirement as well. So are some people thinking about retirement that we don't know about? It's going to be interesting to see at the end of the day. And I'm really excited to see what happens after all this here. Now, anything else you guys want to talk about? And it looks like we have a couple calls here too. Let's kind of check on some of these callers real quick and see who we have on the line. Caller from 651, you're on the line. Hello, hello?
Hey, Nelson, it's Axel here.
Hey, what's going on, Axel? How you doing?
Hey. I was just calling, listening on the show. Really enjoying it so far.
Oh, appreciate. Did you have any thoughts about the re-signings and things of that sort?
You know, it's great to see that the new automated automation system working well, and I hope it's saving a lot of people a lot of time and effort. And it's really cool to see sort of the future of the league moving in that direction. So
perfect. Well, Axel, I appreciate you calling in. I know you're listening in, but I appreciate you chiming in a little bit about these re-signings. We appreciate it.
You bet.
And caller from 312, you're on the line.
Nelson, what's going on? This is BJ, man.
Hey, BJ, how's it going, man? It's a pleasure having you on. we're talking about re-signings at the moment. Before we get to your segment, what has your thoughts been so far about the whole new way of contracts and a new way things are being signed.
All I can say is thank God. It speeds everything up so much faster, man. Of course, I've been here since the start of progression, so, and the hours and hours and days it took to, you know, get contracts out was just handshaking for the league, and it was just, you know, a process that is pretty much outdated. So to see the automation and it's working well, and it's a lot less stress on Marcus, Cam, guys, and guys of that nature, it's totally it's revolutionary for our league.
And that's interesting. You're right, right? Like, the way that this opens doors and how instantaneous these contracts go in, so as soon as it goes into, you know, your section where you get to approve them, it's like, boom, it's already there. It's already posted. And that also makes it really seamless, too, because players don't have to necessarily wait, right? It was always that waiting game, and I can't put this out yet, or I can't say nothing here yet because I got to wait for the league to introduce it. And then now with the changes in the automation, now you can, as soon as it goes through, boom, hey, I'm gonna put up the picture, the signing, the promo around it, and it's news, right? We're getting it quickly. My feel about it is the excitement. So I think, again, the excitement that you used to see when you saw that signing light up, because you wanted to see if your players had already gotten signed, right? So you could then announce the promo. I feel like that excitement and that buildup kind of disappeared now with how quickly this goes, and then maybe how where you find the information has been a little bit challenging. But any contracts really stick out to you?
The Gabe Manning one is always the talk of the town, right? I've been here since season 11, man, and he's been talking of the town and how his contract is. The running backs always get there. Feast on the foil usually. Saw old teammate of mine, Warren Murray, still getting his best season, Houston, and a couple other guys, man. And it's just good to see him crank out like that. Like you said, with the automation, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yeah, you're getting out quicker, but you don't get that anticipation of Cam announcing it. Oh, here we go. 100 a contract for a running back, 115 contracts from a wide receiver. Oh, it's like the fans are.
The contract isn't too crazy in the sense of other players that are in that same spectrum, right? So we talked about a lot, like Reggie Streeter, if I'm not mistaken, is at 118, right? That's a pretty hefty contract, especially for a running back. So for a wide receiver to have that, it's a little bit more controversial. What were you going to say?
With the running backs, they're leaned on a little bit more, but with wide receivers, it's like, okay, you're at 118, but is your quarterback going to be able to get you the ball? I mean, in his history, with the exception of maybe one season, quarterbacks have hit him with the ball well enough, you know?
Yeah.
So, on a personal level, yeah, his stats are Hall of Fame worthy at this point. But
yeah.
He's also a guy that has never been on a playoff team.
Yeah. And that's quite a thing, too, right? Like, to get deep into the playoffs, right, you want to make sure that your players as much as possible are as good as possible going into the playoffs, right? That's kind of where you need to shine. And something that I saw is going to limit a lot of people from doing that. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this year. But I think definitely Tulsa had made some noise this re-signing period just because of how hefty that contract was. And we know that used to be an issue in the past. Now, over to you, BJ, right? You are the new general manager of the Queen City Corsairs, right? And it's an organization that's been around for a while, right? It's one of the original teams of the SFL. So you coming into this organization, it's a pretty big deal, right? And you as well coming from a strong organization in Arizona, being one of their staples in the linebacking core. It's very exciting to see you getting this position and now you being able to mold and shape this Corsair roster, right, that, again, has now changed dramatically, right? I think this is a new kind of change in the Queen City Corsairs history. And tell us a little bit about, like, your team. Tell us about what's going on up north.
I mean, coming from two backgrounds that have, you know, sort of have become staples one way or another in Houston and Arizona, and kind of coming over to Queen City, and Queen City has a hell of a history. It's about what they're doing currently. And, I mean, 4-8 isn't the worst thing in the world, but nobody's happy when they're 4-8. In a 12-game season, 4-8 is nothing to be happy about. I think shout out to Eric Barkley, owner of Queen City. I really think he wanted to keep most of his nucleus how it was, as far as players and guys in the locker room for the most part. But it was more so about getting the infrastructure of guys that can help out in the front office that he really wanted to tune and get us together and get everybody on the same page and see which way we can go with this roster in year one with me coming in as the new GM.
Okay. And, again, you have a couple – I know you have a couple signings so far, right? And you have some roster spots to fill. So for the rookies that may be listening tonight, what are those current positions that you have on the field so far in Queen City?
That's open?
Yeah, if there's any, right? Like, if any rookies are listening, is there any openings right now in Queen City around any kind of, you know, a player side?
We had a guy recently retire on us. Defensive end is one of them. He had a last-minute retirement. We could possibly look up for DBs, kickers, offensive linemen, things of that nature. I tell everybody to just flood my DMs, and we can see which way we can work with. We can work with anybody, pretty much, at those positions and getting guys with. The build thing. Everybody tries to harp on build, but you can always build a build up with time. Everybody's not gonna be Alex Diaz, Jeff Duffy, and guys like that overnight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Everybody, I mean, if you have a little patience and you go through the growing pains, as we say, over time, you'll become Mark Mello.
Yeah.
Mark Mello was a guy we drafted in Arizona, and he was just waiting for his turn. And look at him now, 2 seasons later, he's Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, and so you've been around that change too, right? Like, in Arizona, when it transitioned, you were there with that change, with Eddie being there and kind of seeing that team grow. And last season, right, for you guys made it pretty deep in getting into the playoffs, right? You've been around that turnaround. You've been around that kind of when a team changes. And then, so I think it's really exciting to see what you're going to do in Queen City, you know, with the opportunities that you have now. Now, what is the culture like in Queen City? Like, what was it like when you came in, and then what is that going to continue, or do you have another vision of how you like your culture to be?
Like I said earlier, man, coming into an environment that was 4-8, nobody's happy coming off the end of that seat. So it's like, everybody's like, all right, let's see what these guys – we'll see what these guys are working with. But as the offseason progressed, a lot of guys have gotten into the whole stigma. They're more open to the idea. Now that we've got a front office nucleus that seems like we're working hard and we're on the same page and we're just pushing. We're just making progress every day. And now guys are more open to it. We're getting a lot better communication as from when it was day one, you know?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure with some of the, if you are bringing any players into your organization, I'm pretty sure them also bringing in their experiences or their things as well will also help with the movement of the culture. So it's going to, like I said, what I'm seeing in Queen City is very exciting because it's so brand new. And I think when you see something so brand new coming out, it's just, you want to see what happens because you want to see that success stories and you want to see it again where I mean, Queen City has won multiple championships, right? So they're an organization that knows what it takes to win. Now it's just trying to, you as a general manager, finding those pieces. It's just going to be really exciting to see what you're going to be able to do with this team in the long run. Now, how is the locker room in Queen City?
I mean, they're coming around, man. I'll say that. Guys are coming around. I guess they have 4-8 ain't fun, but they're starting to see the process come together, and they're, like, they're starting to warm up to us. Cause day one was a lot different than day 60, you know? Totally different, you know, environment. At first guys were shy about, you know, who is this new guy, why is he here, you know, and as time went on and they're seeing that we're putting their work, man, and hitting the grind hard. Shout out to Chris Comisak and guys like that. We're just hitting the grind hard, trying to make 4-8 turn into 6-6, 8-84. You know what I'm saying? And they're seeing the progress and how hard we're working, and now they're starting to, like, hey, we might got something here, you know?
Yeah. And you guys made some pretty big acquisitions in front offices, right? You got Tom Rydell, right, as your director of communications, right? You had Chris Comisak, right? You mentioned him, and he was a big piece of Fort Worth, right? That was a great move. Who is a coach who has coached, in, you know, before. So those key pieces right there are going to be interesting in what they bring along with it, right? And then yourself, right? The person you are is also going to bring some stuff as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that was DB's vision from the beginning, and trying to get a new piece of guys that were committed to turning the ship around, man. Shout out to the other guys
that joined the
and we. Hubba Kimbrell, man, hell of a guy, man, and he's hitting the grind, too, and everybody else in the front office. I don't even know if I can even mention him right now, but we got director scouting, everything's accounted for, and we're hitting the ground hard, man, and it's going to be fun. It's definitely fun to see.
Yeah, definitely. Ben, I think you had a question you wanted to ask.
Yeah, congrats on your new position. I had a question with the draft coming up. What are some, do's and don'ts for rookies?
The do's are, I mean, I'll start with the don'ts. Don't be quiet. I've been here since technically the start of the rookie process, the first season of progression. The worst thing you can do is not communicate with GMs and front office personnel. Get your name out there. There's only so much we can gauge with your on-field player. We need to know what you're bringing to our locker room. Can you do this? What can you do off the field? Are you active? Are you going to be here for progressions? Are we going to have to chase you down for getting your subs together? That's usually what we like. The don'ts for that is don't be quiet. Be as active as you can. Make yourself be known. The do's, I would say, man, just don't be a jerk. Don't set yourself on fire in the group chat. That'd be the first reason why guys stay away from you, because they don't. A lot of teams. I've been a part of three teams. They don't want hostile personalities in their locker room because that can cause problems tenfold. You can bring a guy in your locker room and he can instantly turn your most faithful guy into a guy that's like, hey, see you next season, season 18, I'm out, peace. And you be like, peace. Nelson, I'm sure you probably know this at this point. Losing a top tier deal because somebody wants to be a jerk off hurts.
Yeah, it does. I mean, when you have people who come in, and I always talk about the one that bothers me the most is when somebody comes and tells you they're going to do an improvement in something that isn't open, okay? I think that's such a jerk thing to do. Like, hey, man, I want to let you know that I can kill it in your offense. One, we don't have no openings, right? And then two, you don't know the relationship I have with these guys, right? Like, Ben, I have a relationship with, right? Art, Gene, these are guys I have my relationships with that I picked that I'm like, yeah, of course, we're going to put you on here, right? So by you telling me something of that sort, like you said, it's kind of looking like a little bit like, okay, you're coming off a little bit wrong. And I think it's kind of the research too, right? Like what really impresses me is when folks know, like you said, right? Like they know about you as a team. They know what you've gone through. And then they know there's an opening and it's just not coming off wrong. And you talked about GenChat and, yeah, GenChat too. Like I don't want to go in there and have to put out a fire and then you're representing my brand and the brand of the team and your teammates and everything else in such a terrible manner. You know what I'm saying? Like it just really kills how a locker room or a organization is looked. And I mean, again, I think you brought up some good things about how much that can make an impact. And I think you're right. Rookies should come a little bit more correct.
Yeah, and that's a kid. And the worst thing I could do is you keeping a guy that has a tainted reputation because it's usually maturity. And I've seen guys either mature up or mature out. And that can guys that are a maturity problem usually or a head case in the locker room, that could kill any aspirations of free agents wanting to come to your team, man. Some free agents won't even talk to you because you have a certain guy in the locker room that is looked down upon because of how they talk to people, how they communicate with that, or the brashness, or, you know, you get it. Man, it's crazy.
Hey, BJ, it's KT. Real quick, and you come from Arizona where expectations are always high and everyone's brought in. How important is it for you as a GM to really make the expectations clear and to get the players to buy into what you're trying to do and, you know, improve on that 4-8 record, let them know, like, this is what we want to do. Make sure you're in. Either you're in or you're out.
It's really just being open and honest to the guys that we're trying to bring in or the guys we're trying to keep in-house. We got to just put it all on the table, and you got to take it or leave it. And just be 100% transparent with these guys, man, and it's some shady things going on in certain parts of the league when it comes to getting guys to come in because they have excellent builds or getting guys to come in because they're influencers in the league. Being transparent is the best way to go, man. Just be 100% honest with these guys and actually show what you're working on to most of these guys and like, hey, this is what we got, this is what we're coming with, and this isn't going to be an overnight success. I mean, I hope to God it is. Prove me wrong. I mean, hopefully we can turn 4-8 to 84-9-3. That would be excellent, but 6-6, 7-5 isn't, it's an improvement. I'm always up for improvement.
Yeah, I think, again, you looking to always improve and just get a little bit better, you have an opportunity to do so, like, in one season, turn it around. And I think you have definitely the staff to do so. Now, BJ, for the rookies that are listening, and, again, if any rookies want to talk to BJ, you're more than welcome to call. Phone number is 515-605-9847. You can call in and ask BJ any questions, about – you know, draft, maybe how to get in communication, whatever the case may be. But before we continue on, BJ, do you want to share what your Discord name is and the best way that people can contact you?
You can either follow me. My Discord name is BJ Loveless. It's clear as day. If you don't see the Queen City Green, that ain't me. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at BJ Loveless 24/7 on Twitter. My DMs are always open there. Give me a follow. talk. If you want to talk, you can follow me. You can exchange numbers and really talk the grind of SFL. I've been here since season 11. I got quite a bit of experience, man. And we can get, if it ain't my locker room, we can get you in a locker room at some point this during this off season. Man.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like I said, you have such a interesting dynamic that's happening. You're bringing in some really quality coaches and front staff people, right? And then, like you said, there's still people that you can't even speak about yet. That I think, again, once we see the full picture of what you wanted to accomplish, it's going to be exciting. I can tell the excitement in your voice while, you know, trying to contain yourself, right? And I know that day is coming where we'll be able to get to the free agent signings and have those be announced. And then it becomes a little bit easier to talk about how your whole off season went, just instead of looking how it goes from here. So I think it's going to be really exciting from there to see how that progresses and goes from there. And you're right. I think you brought up some pretty huge people that are your nucleus now that I think will help you moving forward on your successes there in Queen City.
Yep, for sure, man. It's a grind, man, and it's just starting. I'm having fun, man. Like, Arizona was fun, and being with Eddie is always a blessing, man. That dude is awesome. If there's nobody else in this league that loves this thing either as much or more than Cam, it's Eddie Gabe, man. And that guy is always at 100 miles an hour, man. And Tavon and Houston, man, and he's trying to get Houston back to the top of the tiers, man. And those guys work hard this week. But these guys in this league are super, super competitive, man. And they take this thing serious. And I just want to be one of those guys that are part of the team that it shows that we take this serious and we want to win. And I want to show that any impending free agents, any guys that want a locker room that want that we want to win, Queen City, man.
BJ, looking forward past free agency, past the draft, what are some of your team goals and kind of values for this upcoming season?
Trust us, man. Trust us. This process isn't going to be done overnight. We're not going to go from, I hope we do, but one season usually isn't the end. Some teams can do it, some teams can't. Just trust and believe what we got going on. And just stick with us. Just have patience, man. Especially with rookies. Man. Rookies want to come in and rookies, I'm going to tell rookies this. There's so many guys here that were here before the rookie process that their builds are 2 and 3 steps ahead of most of the rookies coming in. If your build's going to be good, and you're going to have – some guys are going to have sets better than others, but, man, let me tell you something. There's guys like Gabriel Manning and Warren Murray and DJ Moses and guys across the league, man. These guys are elite-level talent in the league. You're coming in with – a decent deal, but if you're not coming in game one with 2 pick-sixes, 7 tackles, don't be discouraged. It's a process, and it takes patience. I'm sure it's 24 teams in the league, and they're all capable of getting guys where they need to be. It takes a little bit of time.
So you talked about the patience part of the game and of the league. How important is it, and not just for rookies, but like for all players to really get involved in the other parts of the league, like stats and scouting, just to kind of learn more about the league and kind of become like a well-rounded participant in the league?
I mean, I'll tell you this. Being involved makes the league a lot funner, and it makes things go a lot faster, especially in all season. You got guys, if you're an influencer or content creator, guys like Ross Napoli, Ashley Jackson, Dave Access, Nelson Lozano, Coach Craven, those guys, it builds immersion, and immersion makes time go faster than I'm always a proponent for building immersion and making things immersive and just more content and making this long, drawn-out offseason just go faster, man. And once you build a rapport with the people, man, it's hard to beat those people in the league, man. Can you imagine recruiting free agents and trying to out-recruit Ashley Jackson and Dave Axel right now? It's one of the hardest things to do in this league.
Yeah. And I think it goes to beyond what they also bring on and off the field. I mean, you're trying to get somebody of that sort who brings in so much to this league in and out. That's what you're trying to look for is somebody who's on that caliber, as well as if you were trying to get somebody like that, it would be very difficult to do so just because of what they bring to the table.
Yeah, and having those guys, having one of those people in your locker room, it accelerates everything. And I know Ashley personally, and she is one of the most thorough people I know when it comes to recruiting talent and just, you know, her. I'm sure you've talked to Ashley Nelson and everybody pretty much. And she's just She can sell Ray to a bug, as you say back in Chicago. She can make everything sound good, man. And before you know it, you signed on the dotted line for Arizona. And it's like, wow, how did I end up here? But it's hard, man. And becoming one of those people, it don't happen overnight, but you can do it. It just takes a lot of hard work. Dave, Ashley, Nelson, all the content creators and influencers and even guys that don't content create and are just constantly in the gym chat, communicating with people, helping people out. Guys that are helping teams, scouts, GMs, coach, whatever. It's teams in here with scouting teams that are 6 or 7 people. It's scouting departments that are just ridiculous. And those guys are getting their names out there. And when it comes towards off season, and teams need coaches or help it start scouting departments. Those guys are getting spread out through the league. Before today, I mean, before the offseason started, I had no clue who Chris Komisak was. But when I signed on with Queen City and he walked into the locker room day one, he made sure I knew who Chris Komisak was after that. Like, holy crap, this guy knows his stuff.
Yeah, the signing of Chris and him coming from a huge organization in Fort Worth was a huge acquisition that I think, again, was a big signing, right? And a lot of people don't know a lot about Chris Komisak, but he is somebody who has done a lot in the background. And I remember calling a game with him and him, me messing up on the name and everything and learning it, but I learned real quick on how everything went. So, BJ, do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on in a sense for Queen City, things for people to look out for or things you're trying to achieve for the organization, like podcasts or any of those kind of things?
Yeah, the Queen City podcast is currently under construction, and we should have that bad boy rolling. Lee Palmerdale and the guys in the Queen City locker room, that is coming very, 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 very soon. Palmerdale is heading and working on that as we speak. So that is coming.
Perfect. Those are things that I'll be excited to kind of see once they come out and be live. And like I said, a lot of great things, and there's a lot of buzz going on with Queen City. And Tom Rydell's already see all in Twitter and stuff like that, trying to create the excitement, right, in the social media presence as well. And we had him on. I had him on the show on Friday, so a couple Fridays back. So it was really awesome to hear from his aspect as well, right? Because he was in Los Angeles doing this, and he created that social media presence for them, and then now carrying that over to you guys is very exciting as well. So it's you know, it's going to be exciting after everything's said and done to see what you're able to accomplish in that new position of yours, which we're very happy to see you having the opportunity to take this organization and mold it into your own. Now, before we get out of here, BJ, is there anything else you kind of want to talk about? Please, again, reiterate your Discord. Please, again, if any rookies want to reach out to BJ, listen out so you can – so go ahead.
The Discord is always BJ Loveless. It's not hard to find. If it ain't the Queen City Green, it ain't me. Or you can give me a follow on Twitter. It's BLoveless22.
Perfect. All right, BJ. Well, I appreciate you being on tonight. Appreciate you spending the time. Like I said, we're going to be watching to see what happens in Queen City. And best of luck to you this next season, all right?
All right. Thanks, man. And I'll be glad to come back on again, bro.
I'll take you up on that, trust me. I'll be hitting you up and see and getting your feedback on the how your season went, all right? So talk to you then.
All right. Love.
All right, so thank you to BJ Loveless, the GM of the Queen City Corsairs. We appreciate it. KC, Ben, thank you guys again for being on. You guys have anything to add before we get out of here?
Nah, man, just pump. I'm ready for the season start. Let's get this going.
Yeah, same here. Hope everybody has a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, guys, catch you on Friday on Inside the League with GM Nelson Lozano. You guys have a safe week and have a good night.